as you're getting your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 28, I want to say I feel something very heavily in my spirit. And I was praying for tonight's service. It seemed like I was having a very hard time in finding the vein of God for tonight. I was just struggling. I was praying, and I found out that I was trying to almost force kind of what I wanted to preach. Like, God, can we do something like this? It might be a much better response. But in the end, there was just a deep move of God on me. And he's like, just don't neglect my presence. Don't neglect my glory that I might want to pour. Doesn't matter that it might be a Sunday night. God does not have to move in jumping and swinging from the chandeliers and rolling in the floor. But it can be a deep presence of God where you just feel him and you can't but help to weep and cry. And that's what I feel like God wants here tonight. In Jesus' name. In Genesis chapter number 28. Genesis 28 and verse number 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Turn to Samuel chapter number 4 real quick. 1 Samuel 4 and verse 21, just one verse. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel. I'm going to stop right there. Just for a short little period of time, I'm going to preach to y'all here tonight the presence of Jehovah. The presence of Jehovah. If you can put your Bibles down and invite the presence of God into this place. So open your hearts to receive his word here tonight. Oh God, we love you, Jesus. Oh God, this glory, pray. Oh, in Jesus' name.
Oh God, have your way, Lord, in this place, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. God bless you tonight, and you may be seated. I'm going to start off tonight with a couple simple stories, and just bear with me, both are personal stuff that's happened to me. But being in the presence of someone who is popular, someone who is powerful, maybe whether it be a celebrity or whoever, it's a big deal to some people, maybe most people. I personally have a friend where his dad was in the presence of a very famous Hall of Fame basketball player. And they were in the elevator together, and he looked at him, and he's like, hey, are you Tracy McGrady? And he's like, yeah, I am. And he's like, you want my signature? And he's like, nah, I'm good. And he just did not care that he was nothing to him. He's just another man. It was just another man to him. When I was probably about 15 or 16, I had the opportunity to go to it's like a celebrity sweat, but it's like a flag football game where they raise money for charity. And there was a lot of famous people there, and I got to meet some of them. I got pictures with some of them. I had a sweatshirt on because it was supposed to be cold, and I had another long sleeve shirt under that, and I just took the sweatshirt off, and I started having them all sign my sweatshirt because I wanted to remember that there was one day, long time ago, back in my life, where I got to meet four or five of those famous people, and they signed my sweatshirt. Two of them I got pictures with, and my brother was wearing a hat, and he took that off, and he started having people sign his hat. And if I'm not mistaken, he still has that hat. I promise I've never worn that sweatshirt till this day. I still have it. My brother never wore that hat either. But because there was famous people that touched that hat, we were in the presence of some celebrities. Mark, we also, from there, we went to another place the next day where they were supposed to have a lot more football celebrities for the Super Bowl. And we went to this bowling alley hoping to get more signatures, hoping to meet more famous people. When we got there, they were all gone. Except there's this one gentleman standing there in a hat with his with a team logo on it, a shirt with the team logo on it, and he had a suit coat over the top of that. And he was just standing there, and he was talking to some other people. Well, we came behind the other people, and we got his autograph, and we got pictures with him. And all three of us walked off and turned and be like, who was that? We're like, we have no idea who that was. Till this day, we have no clue who that guy was. He was probably just some stranger to do the same thing we did and had 30 seconds of fame. We have no idea who he was. But that was not the only time that I've been in the presence of someone with authority, with power, with a lot of power behind their name. I don't remember this one too well, but when I was roughly 5 or 6 years old, we lived in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Right about that time is when George H.W. Bush was running for president, and he had a rally nearby the area. I don't know if it was exactly in Springs or where it might be, but we got to go see him. My parents took the high schoolers, and being their son, I got great privilege to get out of school and go with them. And all I can remember is the place was packed, and we were out there before the sun was even out. And we're standing in line. It was cold. It's Colorado. It was cold. It was nighttime. Number one, I was 5 or 6 years old. I did not really care about the president of the United States. He wasn't even the president yet. It was not that big to me. And just sitting there, and finally we get inside. We get to our seats, and the whole arena is filled with people. And all of a sudden, from one end, people just started clapping and erupting into applause, and then cameras came on, and we saw George Bush was walking into the arena. So naturally, all of us stand up, and we start giving a nice hand of applause to him. And he gets to the podium, and he just stands back because we're still clapping. And he keeps standing there because we're still clapping. And clapping and clapping goes on and on and on and on. Finally, it stops. And all he does is take one step forward, and it erupts in applause again. And people clapping and clapping and clapping again. And then he says, thank you. And people start clapping for him saying thank you. That was very wise words. Thank you. And it lasted forever. But it's because we were in the presence of somebody who was, we were hoping then at the time, would be the next president of the United States. I'd say the other people, I wasn't voting at 6 years old. But at that time, we knew this guy could potentially hold the most powerful seat in the country. The most powerful seat. It was an awesome experience. Till this day, I still remember. I still remember it. I still remember seeing him down there. I don't remember it much else. I just remember I got to skip school, and to me, that was more important than seeing that guy. But now today, if I was older, I feel like I would relish that moment even more. But the clapping was continuous. And I bet you all adults, all those high school people, they still tell that story better than me till this day. Because to them, it was something more than it was to me. To them, they remembered it better. They had a better meaning to be there. Voters had a better meaning to be there. This guy, we are in the presence of potentially the most powerful person in America. Potentially the most powerful person in America. But as awesome as that was, we as saints of God get to experience the presence and be in the presence of someone so much more powerful. So much more powerful. The presence of the United States does not matter. Yes, he holds a very powerful seat in this country. But every day I get the opportunity to be in the presence of God. Every day that I choose, I can come to this church and be in the presence of the Almighty God. It doesn't matter what I've gone through in my day. I don't have to buy tickets, spend hundreds of dollars. It's free to come to church, and I get to be in His presence. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Exodus chapter number 15 and verse number 6 says, "Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy." Psalms 145 and 3 says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." He is the all-powerful God. He is omnipotent, and He is great to us. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But that's not all. There are so much attributes. I feel like I can't even do it justice tonight. That God covers everything. God created the world. He created you and me. He created everything possible. He has all power. The Bible says He has given all power both in heaven and in earth. Both places. But the amount of love that God has, that our God has, is unending. The love. Romans 5 and verse number 8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's love. That's love. I just think about all the times that me or my family or somebody has been done wrong. And do I've questioned myself when I read this verse. Would I die for those people? Those people who did me wrong, who they were clearly in the wrong themselves. I would find it so tough to die for them. But that is love. That is love. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God's presence is so rich. Just being in His presence, just feeling this burden upon me, it's just making it more and more humbling that we're in the presence of the Almighty God, the all-powerful God. It doesn't matter what we've done in our past. We are in the presence of God. In Jesus' name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, in Jesus, Jesus. I'm not talking about just being in a physical place either. Because we could easily show up, but we could easily neglect the presence, the glory of God. We can be here in person, but our spirits and our minds are far from what God wants to do in the service. We can neglect it. I'm not talking about being here physically, but I'm talking about being in His presence and being in all that we are in His presence. And man, just having that feeling and weeping and crying, "God, I love You. I so cherish being in the presence of God." Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, Jesus' name. Oh, can we worship Him right now? Oh, God. Ooh, Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, God, it is easy to come here and never experience that presence. I know this is way different from a typical Sunday night, and I know Brother Wurst mentioned something about a fiery preacher tonight, but this is how my heart feels. This is how my heart is rolling. This, you can come and never experience, and yet God is just sitting back, and He's like, "Hey, I've got something for you. I've got something powerful for you. This is more than you. This is better than any physical miracle. This is better than any physical healing. This is just me and you talking. This is me. This is you basking in my glory." Oh, it's phenomenal. It's wonderful, church. We can come and we can neglect His glory, and He just passes us by. And before we know it, we're labeled Ichabod. The word Ichabod, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but the word Ichabod simply means, "Where is the glory? Where is the glory? Where is it? We've come so far. I don't know where the glory is. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but as I was praying, I felt such a deep presence of God that He wanted to do a mighty work. And I know I've preached a lot of faith, but I feel this is different. This is a deep presence of God that He wants to do here in our church tonight. If we can get past ourselves, if we can get past the selfishness of, but I need a miracle, I need healing, I need this. If we can get past that, God will take care of that. But if we can just experience His glory here tonight, I believe God will work out what you want. I believe God will do what you need. We just got to take it off ourselves and get in the presence of the Almighty God. Romans 8:26, this is what I'm talking about. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Sometimes you don't know what to pray. Sometimes it says we not know what to pray. But it's groanings that can't be uttered. It's in the altar just praying to God. Oh, God, oh, it's groanings and moanings from your belly. It don't feel good, but it's the presence of God wanting to do something more on your life. It's more important than what you want, child of God. Get in the presence of God and into intercessory prayer. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus' name. Oh, God, if we can have ladies in the church who are willing to come to the altars, willing to forget everything aside, to let down all their worries, all their problems, and just intercede. Sometimes it's interceding for the lost. Sometimes it's interceding for the youth group. You don't know what it is, but it's intercessory prayer. Men, it's not all about the war. It's not all about just fighting and doing whatever. Sometimes it's getting on your face like a little baby. And it's crying those tears, weeping the tears, and just getting in to the presence of God. I'm almost done, but do you feel His presence here tonight? Do you feel that undercurrent of God pulling at us? Oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So we come back to our text. And we see in our text that Jacob is in a place and he's resting. But before this, we know the story of Jacob and Esau. How Jacob deceived his brother, deceived his father. And he got the blessing when his father was going to bless Esau. And he had to run away because the Bible said that Esau wanted to kill him. That after the moment of grieving was over for his brother, that he was going to avenge and kill his brother. He was weeping for his father. And his mom came and said, Jacob, you need to go. Esau's going to kill you. Get out of here. Go, go, go. And Jacob was so focused on his feelings, focused on the problems. And he lights out of there and he's taking off and he's going and he's going. And the sun starts to set and he's like, I need a place to rest. I got to rest. And he puts some stones down for a pillow. And he pays no attention to how he's feeling. And he just lays down and he goes to sleep. And this is when he sees a dream. I can only imagine it. Just take a step back. What would have happened if Jacob would have acknowledged the presence of God right then and there? Right then and there. He's sleeping and God is physically talking to him in his sleep. And Jacob is not acknowledging it. He is seeing angels ascending and descending a ladder into heaven. And it's nothing. He's still sleeping. And when he wakes up, Jacob awaked out of his sleep. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. I knew it not. So focused on the outside, so focused on his problems, so focused on his issues, his life chasing him, and he's missing out on the presence of God, that God that is just so mighty. God promised him, I'm going to give you everything. The sand on the seashore, that's going to be your seed. all of this. And Jacob missed the presence of God. We come to our final text here tonight. This is what I felt strongly in the Holy Ghost. But in our text here tonight, we see that this lady, I only took one verse, and she named this boy, and she named him Ichabod, meaning the glory has departed. But if we take a step back and look at what's going on in Israel, we see Samuel has come, and Samuel is staying with Eli, the prophet. And all of a sudden he hears a voice, Samuel. And he runs to Eli, and he's like, yes, I'm here, master, I'm here. He's like, I didn't call you. Three other times that happened, and finally Eli's like, hey, that's God trying to talk to you. If that happens again, you acknowledge it and say, yes, Lord, your servant heareth. And Samuel's like, yes, sir, and he goes to bed. And a fourth time, God speaks to Samuel, and he says, Samuel. And he's like, yes, sword, your servant listeneth. And just a little, if I'm not mistaken, he was around 8 years old, somewhere around there. And the Bible says that God begins to talk to Samuel and saying, I'm getting ready to judge Eli. I'm getting ready to judge Hophni and Phinehas because of their vile sin that they are doing before all the people of Israel. I'm getting ready to judge them. The Bible says the next morning, Eli calls Samuel in, brings him in, and Samuel tells him everything. He doesn't hide one word. He just tells him, hey, this is what's going to happen. So then we go to chapter number four. And it talks about how the Israelites are going to battle with the Philistines. And the Philistines start to annihilate the children of Israel, starts to beat them. No, this is God's people, but they're losing because they're sin. There's something wrong. There's something blocking what God can do. And all of a sudden, the people have a great idea saying, go get the Ark of the Covenant. Bring it into battle. We'll surely have victory. But so they go and they get the Ark of the Covenant and they bring it and they still get defeated. They get annihilated by the Philistines and the Ark of God gets taken and Hophni and Phinehas die. All of a sudden, a messenger from the war comes running, says, Eli, hey, your sons are dead. And he's like, oh no. And the Ark of God, like, and it's gone. The glory of the Lord was gone. And he says, Eli fell out of his seat and broke his neck. And then somehow or another, this message starts making it to Phinehas' wife, that's who we read about in our Bible. And as we're all standing here tonight, we're introduced to Phinehas' wife. And she is with child. And the Bible says that she is near the time of birth. And all of a sudden this message comes to her. And it says, hey, Phinehas is dead. Your husband, he's dead. It's like, oh no. And your father-in-law, he fell and he broke his neck and he's dead too. And she's like, no. And it says, and the Ark of the God and the Ark of the Covenant, it's gone. The glory of the Lord is gone. We no longer have that for our country, for Israel. The Philistines, they've taken it. It's captive. We don't have it anymore. And it says she all of a sudden started experiencing labor pains. And she died having her baby. And the Bible does not tell us who this lady was. It doesn't tell us if it was her maid, who it might have been. It just says the lady next to her. And tried encouraging, hey, you got a baby. But she was unresponsive. That lady turned and she looks at that baby boy. I can imagine her looking at the dead lady and just going, the Ark of the Covenant, the prophet, his sons, his name's Ichabod. The glory has departed. Where is the glory? She named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel. There's times as we all bow our heads and close our eyes. There's times it's so easy to come to church, time after time, and not acknowledge the glory of the Lord. There's got to be a point where we can come to the altars and touch God. There's got to be a point when our life's problems are obscuring our vision, our view, and our touch from God. we could come to the altars and get past what's going on and be in God's presence. There's got to be a time when we can weep in the altars and not be hindered by the time that we are here. There's a time to dance with joy, but we can't neglect that deep move of God when He wants to move. When God wants to speak, we can't neglect and be like, no, God, we want to worship. We want to dance. I just want to sit here and talk to you. I just want to pour out my glory upon you. Jesus. All the altars are open here tonight. I wonder if there are any ladies who will be willing to come. Forget about everything. Put it all behind them and just come and weep in the presence of God. Are there any men for willing to come and sit in the glory of God and let God touch you and do a work in your life? Over New Life Tabernacle. God, don't